Namaste. Welcome to this week four and final update, homework update for March. And look forward to seeing as many of you as possible in the April live session on Saturday. So we have seven homeworks this week to go through. So I'll get started with those. Okay. So the first one says, I was not going to submit homework, but had a seeing yesterday, which, although quite subtle, feels significant, and I would really appreciate your guidance. Following from listening to one of your satsangs, I realized I was constantly pushing away negative thoughts or emotions, as I had this idea that they were evidence of my ego in action and had to be removed to get to the self. But I can now beginning to see it is all the self, at least internally. And whatever shows up is just another form of the self to be allowed and accepted. This change feels positive, and I'm also no longer looking for a reward of peace as a sign of progress. Just having attention on space of awareness is fine. I can understand that this work will need to be expanded to the outside beings and forms, and this may well be far harder. That said, I do get the feeling I'm a bit closer to understanding and applying the principle of it's all one with no separation. And this is a major development, particularly as last week I had all but given up. Thank you so much for your patience and commitment to our awakening. I'm really glad you sent this in. I really want to, when you're struggling is perhaps the time when you need to send in homework more than ever. Because I want to help you. I want to be there for you. And if we're not communicating at all, then I can't really help to make a difference. And we all have those times where we just feel like giving up. I quit the pathway more times than I've had hot meals, you know. At the same time, I really realized that I couldn't quit any more than I could stop breathing, because it's just something that's happening. And annoyingly, I found myself back on the pathway the next hour or day or whatever it was, regardless of how much I seem to want to. So it's good that you can be open about those moments and recognize that they are part of awakening too. Of course, we feel that we're not getting anywhere sometimes. Of course we do. But I want to just remind you that it's happening whether you recognize it or not. And there is no way to stop your awakening. When the great self wants to see itself, there is nothing that can stop it. There is experiences that can seemingly get in the way of it. But still, it is learning. The self is learning through those experiences and seeing beliefs ever clearer that it keeps experiencing so that it can step out of them. And here's one that you've seen, an amazing one that you've seen in this seeing. It's very exciting. You realize I was constantly pushing away negative thoughts or emotions. And I had this idea that they were evidence of my ego in action and had to be removed to get to the self. But now I'm beginning to see it's all the self, at least internally. And whatever shows up is just another form of the self to be allowed and accepted. It's wonderful. And I think when this happened for me, there was a relaxation then about emotions coming up and things like that, because I wasn't needing them to go away anymore to reach the awakened state condition. And it's wonderful. In fact, the awakened condition is allowing these things. So this, it literally is what we're doing in March, is moving from how the ego sees it to how the self sees it. Ego sees these things are in the way of my awakening, these thoughts, emotions, experiences, and have to go before I can find peace. Because the ego works in duality, it works in either or, it's saying self or ego. And the self includes the egoic expression of however it's appearing in this moment. And as you said so well, it's just another shape that the self is taking, isn't it? This emotion, this judgmental thought, this feeling of unworthiness is another shape that the self is taking. So you are applying this month's lesson right here. This is a shift happening from how the ego sees it to how the self sees it. That the self just sees all these shapes appearing and doesn't push anything away because of that. And inherently because of that, peace becomes more prevalent because I'm not pushing against something. I'm not saying, no, this should go. This very pushing against emphasizes this artificial division we create inside ourselves. There's me and the emotion I'm feeling. And I'm pushing the emotion away from me because I don't want to feel it because it shouldn't be here because that means I'm not awakened. And that just serves to emphasize that I feel separate to it, to the emotion. But if the emotion is another way that I am appearing in this moment, I'm appearing as fear, unworthiness, whatever it is, or I'm appearing as this physical pain, I'm appearing as this thought, that being, that experience. Look at all the shapes I can take internally and externally. And you might be surprised that it's easier than you think to accept this, to live from this externally. Most of the work is really done on the internal level because it's not really that being that troubles me or that lack of something that troubles me or that it's not really that person I argue with that I'm pushing against. It's how it makes me feel inside that I'm pushing against. If you could experience anything in your outer world and it had no internal response to it in a negative way, negative emotion, or if there was no pushing against those negative emotions, as we were just saying, then you wouldn't be trying so hard to change your outer experience anyway or resist something. So when you see that everything inside is really perpetuating what goes on outside, then it's much easier to accept and apply this externally too. It's much easier to move through your entire life, actually. And this is massive. It's fundamental to being the self, to living as the self. A self doesn't see thoughts or emotions. It sees shapes. It's like the cloud, rain falling out of a cloud, and then the cloud going, get that away from me. It's nothing to do with me. I don't like it. It shouldn't be here. When it's natural that the cloud, rain falls from the cloud. Instead, the cloud, you know, the rain might say, well, I'm different to the cloud. Look, you know, it's different. We're completely different. The cloud really is the self here, and the self just sees, here's one of my expressions. Here's one of my creations. And without the labels that the self, that the ego puts on them, there's no problem there in experiencing it. You still might prefer to experience something more pleasant, but without the label of negative, if they're just shapes, then also bad and unwanted labels fall away as well. And the self sees only itself making shapes. It doesn't see an emotion. There is no such thing as an emotion, really, or a thought, or any object. Really, these are all familiar shapes that the self takes. It sees huge and fundamental, as you've seen, and quite often these huge seeings come in the quietest of ways, don't they? It feels very, very subtle when we see it. Oh, you know, just some feeling like that, some ordinary feeling. That's what I've been doing. And then in the coming days and weeks, it just keeps kind of exploding inside you to come to an ever clearer understanding of, I don't need to resist these things anymore. How much does the ocean resist the waves? Does it even really see waves? Or is it just seeing water? Sometimes the surface is flat, sometimes it's not, it's a wave. We could say that they're different, or that the surface waves are different from the depth of the ocean, but not really, not really. There isn't really any difference between the awareness and the emotion that the ego labels as negative. Could you have the emotion without the awareness? And if the answer to that is no, then they cannot be different. They cannot be two. I remember when I was sitting in retreat with Ajahn Shanti, the 5-day retreat I went to, and he said one line in the middle of a guided meditation, and some atomic explosion went off inside when he said, you cannot separate the thought from the awareness. And something just hit me that they must be the same thing. They must be. It just blew up inside me, and I sat there just like shocked, crying and laughing and trying to be quiet because there were all these beings meditating, but it was just boom. But it was a very quiet seeing, very normal seeing. And you probably wouldn't have noticed really anything looking from the outside, only that I was crying a little bit and all of that. But there was just this moment, and they're quite often those quiet seeings are the most powerful ones. So this is the oneness. This is the oneness, that there isn't really an emotion and the awareness of it. And when I really get this, I'll stop pushing things away. And it's natural then that the next step is to apply that. This isn't really a human body stood in front of me or another being. What it really is, this is myself, is the awareness, is the self in a different shape. So I'm very excited. Really, really look at this and want to see it more. Ask it to come back when it's ready and show you more and, you know, be revealed ever deeper. Very exciting. You are never lost along the pathway, even though we feel it. You are never not breaking through, even though it will really seem that way. And you can absolutely guarantee you it's happening for you. And if we just kind of can get through those moments, whichever way we can, where we just feel it's never going to happen. Something amazing is always coming. It's always darkest before the dawn. And the dawn, the sun rises. There's this beautiful epiphany of realization, some realization happening, coming. Because in this dark moment of despair, some energy is being healed, released, let go of, transcended. We have to feel it first. And then there's room for even higher vibration thought to come in. So I'm very, very excited. It's this is the awakened state that you're talking about here. This is how the self sees things. It doesn't see things or emotions or thoughts or other beings or a table or whatever it is. It sees shapes. Imagine right now if you forgot the names for everything. If I could somehow suck all the names, table, fear, other beings, you know, all the names of all the other beings in your life. If I could somehow just take them out of your brain so that you could only, you could look at something, but you couldn't remember what it is, then there's no resistance to it. There's a curiosity about it, a wonder about it. And we can do that right now with emotions. We don't have to suck the labels out, the names, but we can be more interested in what it really is than the label of fear or whatever negative thought of emotion that we've judged before. This is a profound seeing, and it will change everything for you as it unfolds. I'm really, really excited. What a good way to kick off the homework. Lovely. Next one. Hi, Helen. I have a question on letting go of painful beliefs. Is it the ego that needs to see itself or its beliefs as mistaken in order to let go of suffering causing beliefs? Or is it the self that comes to see what it has held onto as truth is actually false perceptions of the ego, which causes letting go? I ask this because I am seeing so many conditioned beliefs that have been around for so long that cause so much suffering, but yet do not dissolve. I truly desire to let them go, but I have not been able to. I know what it feels like when a very stubborn belief is truly seen and let go, like with the incredibly painful belief in love is outside of myself and others, and I must get it in order to feel loved and wanted. That belief was so pervasive and would not budge that I thought I may have to live with it the rest of my life. Now I know that freedom from this belief is possible. I want more of it. But there are so many beliefs getting in the way of my peace. My top five would be, 1, the inability of losing and keeping weight off. 2, believing this body is ugly and old because it is less than. 3, unable to have a full night of sleep. 4, healing my digestive system. 5, restoring the function of my hands. I tell myself, if I just didn't believe the thoughts generated by the beliefs, I would be free. Maybe I am doing something wrong and it's all my fault because I keep believing them and giving them life. There is also resentment and anger because of their persistence. When the beliefs come on strong, I allow them. I inquire and contemplate on them. I ask for help. I even began the practice of feel good imagining you spoke of at our last class. But yet there is no release or feeling anywhere near it. Apathy then starts setting in. I'm so very tired of the pain and suffering from my top 5. I would appreciate your guidance and help with this. I'm so grateful for your constant love and help. Much love always. So let me start with your first question. Is it really ego that needs to see itself or its beliefs as mistaken in order to let go of them? Or is it the self that comes to see what has been held on to? Well, really, the self and the ego are the same thing and different expressions. One's a contracted, limited expression and one's an unlimited, infinite expression. And really, when the self appearing as ego recognizes the beliefs aren't true, understands causality to some degree, that I've only felt these beliefs are true because I kept experiencing them, then I'm going to be able to let go of these beliefs, and it begins to then experience itself in a more unlimited way. So ego is stuck in the beliefs and self is able to let go of them. Ego is not able to really, again, through no fault of its own, it's not able to see that what it's feeling about the world isn't true because, and, you know, about itself and about awakening. So, for example, the beliefs that you've listed about the body, ego isn't able to see that they are not true because it's using the state of the current state of the body to reference and say, look, see, these are true. So my hands are never going to heal because they haven't healed in such a long time. The weight I want to release isn't going to come off because it's just I've been trying so hard and it hasn't come off. So all of these, the inability of losing and keeping weight off, believing the body is ugly and old because it is less than, unable to have a full night of sleep, healing my digestive system, restoring the function of my hands, are all to do with the body and cannot be healed directly that way. They have to be allowed to heal spontaneously by themselves. It cannot heal the body directly because the body is a reflection. It's like trying to change the mirror image. If there's something that my body is showing me in a very intelligent way, please look at this, then it's really showing me some belief inside that I need to let go of. And if it isn't changing, it's because we haven't got to the root of the belief in our inquiry, our diving deep into. And for me, what you've said here, the belief I'm doing something wrong, resentment and anger because of their persistence. So here's a feeling of why won't these go away? These are never going to go away. There's nothing I can do about it. A feeling of being very disempowered here. And the apathy that you've talked about here, apathy says there is just no point in even trying. There's no point in trying. It's never going to change. There's nothing I can do about it. I am completely disempowered and I don't even have the strength to try again. There's a kind of, there's just really no point in it. And I want to suggest to you that that is the belief right there that needs looking at. The frustration and the anger that this I cannot break through. I cannot get rid of these no matter what I'm doing. It makes real sense to feel that way to ego, doesn't it? Because ego says, look, see, then it's not changing. I'm not losing the weight I want to lose. And I'm really talking from my own experience here. There is a question that was asked in the last satsang that I did on Thursday evening about weight loss, and I really suggest listening to that Q&A. There was a lady that was saying that she couldn't lose the weight that she wanted to lose, and what is that about? And I went into that in a great detail, greater detail. But it's the core of it is this feeling here that there's just no point in trying. And you might be able to point to all my life it's been this way. And if I ever lose it, it comes straight back on again. Can you see that the root of this is feeling disempowered, unable to make this change, and that even that it's pointless to try, that no matter what I do, I'm not going to break through this. And ego feels so very justified in holding on to this because it's got all these experiences of not getting what you want here. A healthy, slim, vibrant, alive and body with a sense of well-being and a passion about life. We've had so many experiences of not getting that because this belief has been in place for so long that we hold on to this feeling. Can you see? It's not a conscious thought, but the whole attitude to healing the body that's coming through in what you've written. And I'm not saying at all it's conscious, of course it's not, but the whole kind of way that you see it is that it's pointless to even try, that it's not going to shift. Ego says, yes, I feel that way because I've tried so hard and it hasn't worked. And the self says, because you feel that way, it cannot work. So how can it be difficult to heal your body? Why can't you have what you want right now? And when I say that, you probably notice that, and I'm saying that on purpose to kind of bring up this yes, but feeling. Yes, but I'm not going to be able to apply it. Yes, but it's not going to work for me. Yes, but it works for everyone else. It's worked for Helen, but it's not going to work for me. Can you see, can you feel the yes, but, which is the pointing to the belief inside that keeps perpetuating as this experience? Why can't you fix this right now? Why do some people experience miraculous healings and others don't? Can you see the core of this, that the body doesn't heal per se, it just begins to reflect the perfection that you begin to see inside that you've always been. This feeling of apathy, frustration, anger is the core of feeling disempowered, that there's something outside of your control as a separate being. And I'm really passionate about this because I went through this for a very long time. There was this burden of all these beliefs in my consciousness, and I'm never going to be able to let go of them. I've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried so hard. And without realizing, that was my experience with my body and my weight. And I've talked about this more on the satsang, but just very briefly, there was this real feeling that no matter what I do, I'm never going to be the weight I want to be. When I really saw through this disempowered feeling, I'm carrying this burden of all these beliefs, which I'm trying to put them down, and I can't. That I was literally experiencing that with my body. There's things wrong with my body that I'm trying to change and it's not working. I just can't fix it. And all these things that I'm trying to heal and change, it's not working. Can you see that that's a reflection of feeling I'm carrying this heavy burden. We're literally in carrying this excess fat, excess weight. We're carrying this burden around with us physically that we can't seem to get rid of as a reflection of carrying this burden of beliefs that we can't seem to get rid of. And is that true? Can you be disempowered? Can anything be outside of your control? I know. My heart really goes out to you because I know how it feels to feel disempowered and that there's just no way this is going to ever change. But we have to find the courage to challenge that idea one more time. That is the core of everything that is not changing that you want to change about your body, everything, your life in general. If you are the self already, then can it really be true that you cannot set down these beliefs and immediately step into peace. And the other way around, immediately step into peace with this question, is that really true? Can I be blocked from anything? Can it be anything that I can't do as a self? It's okay to be powerful. Just because you've been experiencing for so very long being disempowered as a separate being doesn't mean it was ever natural for you. It's okay to recognize there can be nothing outside of my purview, outside of my control. And then as you allow that more and more, it's that seeing, you've been very literally experiencing the same thing with the beliefs, not being able to let them go, as with the bodily issues. Very same thing. One's an in here reflection, the beliefs and my consciousness being full of all this junk that I no longer want or need. I've seen it's not true, but I can't put them down. And then this excess weight that we're holding on to and issues with the body, you know, that we see, I can't seem to do anything about that either. It's a out there reflect. The body is out there to the self. It's a reflection. Cannot be changed in and of itself. When I really got this, I realized it was about how much joy I feel in any moment, peace and joy. The better I feel, the lighter I feel, the more fun I am having. My body is going to begin to reflect that back to me in whichever way it does. Because how can I feel unburdened in my body if I feel burdened still inside? They're mirroring each other. The way you feel about your body is mirroring how you feel in a very general way about your awakening, that there's just no way forward and no point in even trying, that nothing I do is going to break through. But the only evidence you have to tell me that that is true is a history of experiencing it. Experiences, situations that prove this to be true, to ego at least. But the self can see, but hang on, the way that my life is, my body is a reflection of these beliefs. I cannot be blocked in that way. So really, really narrow down this feeling disempowered, apathetic towards even trying to, and I know you're trying, I don't mean for a second to imply that, but this is, how can you ever release these things with this belief that I can never do it? Can you see? You're literally recreating that experience over and over. And I did it for a very long time and it was extraordinarily painful until I realized there could be nothing that I can't heal inside first and allow the body to reflect that to me with a sense of well-being and my appetite begin to diminish. I got much more joy rather than a momentary pleasure out of eating. It agreed with my joy. I was more inspired to take exercise, do things that I want to do, chose better foods naturally. And when I ate something that wasn't so good, but was enjoyable, I didn't punish myself for it. It was just, okay, that was a really nice thing to eat, which I really enjoyed. Everything begins to change as a reflection of that then. But you must get this core feeling, can you see? So the freedom is possible from these beliefs, but you have to question and deeply challenge what can be withheld from the self that you are, the infinite power that you are. Lovely. Let me know how you get on. Okay. The next one. Hi, Helen. I can't tell you how enormously my whole attitude has shifted from the whole conscious imagining process. And it has only been 25 days that I've been practicing this, but so much has changed. I can see how those dark moods that I had and that Steve spoke about on the CIGP session, conscious imagining, have really lessened, and it's such a blessing. It's like my whole life was trying to be lived under a dark cloud that I couldn't shake, and now the sun is shining more and more. It's amazing how we live with these things for an entire lifetime, thinking we have no choice and not knowing what to do to dispel them, until a great sage comes to show us how to transform our life so simply and easily. This is as revolutionary as was learning to meditate and so simply 40 years ago. I remember walking home 3 miles from my initiation, feeling like I was hovering over the sidewalk and marveling at the brightness of colors around me. More epiphanies can come now too, thanks to the higher frequency energy that I'm holding. I can see even more spiritual experiences are happening, now as well, even though I'm not looking for them and I know they're not important. They feel like a kind of signpost that my vibration is higher. Just some glimmers of light after doing CI, and it automatically becomes a resting in the silence, spacious emptiness. I'm so grateful to you for sharing these simple yet transformative processes with us. What a blessing to have found you after all these years of searching for a master who would make a real difference in my life. Follow up one day later. I noticed yesterday I started sinking lower due to some pain, and through the blessing of conscious imagining brought myself up in frequency again. This to me was a miracle. In the past, I would have wallowed in that darkness and felt helpless to do anything about it, which used to elicit more despair, and I could have labeled it failing. But now, instead of descending into the lower vibration of despair, I have a beautiful tool to bring myself back to the higher frequency and felt so much better again. This is such a gift, dear Helen. I also saw that since I've been working with this conscious imagining, there seems to be plateaus of vibration, and each is another opportunity to elevate my frequency, another step up, although there is no such thing as step, rather than labeling it in any way. Then I can rest more in the emptiness rather than dwelling on a process. Today we went food shopping and was feeling pain-free. As we shopped, the pain got worse, but I kept imagining a better manifestation that I am free to move and walk pain-free. However, I noticed there's still a slight imagining a problem being fixed, which you said in a CI session just sustains the problem. This happened subtly, even though I was imagining being free of the problem. So there's still a part of me that checks to see if the pain is less, which sustains it further. Do you have any answers to help with that sense of progress or no progress mentality, which doesn't exist at all as the self, which is process and progress free? Forever grateful for your compassion and love. Bless you, Helen. Thank you. So really great breaking through, and really this dark cloud, these dark moods, waves of despair are just what I was talking about before. It's just this culmination of energies that wash over us when we felt so disempowered from fixing anything, changing anything, from feeling how we want to feel. And again, this feeling that I can't do anything about this. So it's really good that you're seeing there's a lot that you can do about it. And I'm really happy that you've embraced this process. You're 25 days, well, when you wrote this, into it. And having some very good results. You, of course, started before everyone else as a guinea pig. So it's wonderful to have this feedback. And you're absolutely right. There are these plateaus. For me, I don't know, four or five days into my imagining, each day I could imagine more, fill in more detail, have more specifics in it, and really see it clearer and have an even stronger feeling. And then this would, the next time, it wouldn't feel as powerful when I was imagining it. And that is because you've already moved into becoming that. The self has already become that, and it's just in the process of physical manifestation. And that's when we need to stretch our imagining. Okay, what would feel even better than this? There's always something more that we can imagine that will make us feel even better. It's wonderful that you're finding that you're sliding back into silence and stillness and the vastness of being as well. More and more, that's just a natural consequence. It's not such a big jump back to emptiness from feeling really, really good anyway, is it? It's a whole impossible journey from despair to emptiness, but from joy and love and all of that, it's very, very close, and it'll happen. So these plateaus are going to happen when you need to, for two reasons. First is when you need to stretch yourself a bit more with what you can imagine. We've been so used to for so long not getting what we want as a separate being that we can be a little lazy sometimes. I know I was in wanting what we want and imagining that this thing is possible for us. Our dreams can often be very, very small compared to what they could be because we've just given up hope of ever getting them. So if we can see that if we're plateauing, it's because we need to kind of expand. Something feels exciting and joyful and passionate if we haven't yet experienced it. But if we're living it in our everyday life, if it's already shown up in our outside world, it won't feel quite as amazing. Something shows up for me now and it's a joy, of course. And oh yeah, that happened. But it's not surprising to me or that kind of thing because you kind of know it's coming. You know from your imagining what's coming later. And when it shows up, oh yeah. So it's asking you to reach deeper inside to imagine something even more amazing. What could be even better than this particular thing? And just to ask that question is going to really allow you to move deeper. And of course, the second reason is some other wave of energy coming up that you spoke about. Something that needs to be released. You've shifted to a higher frequency and there's some frequency in the body mind in the individual expression of the self that is you that no longer fits in there now, that wants to transmute. It wants in on the party. It wants to go back into freedom, into peace, love and joy. So you might feel temporarily for a day or so not quite as high as you are allowing this feeling to transmute. So both of those reasons. As to your question at the end there, so if you have a situation going on in your life or your finances or your body or your relationships, and there's this checking to see if it's gone yet. And we spoke about it in the class and you brought it up here that sometimes that very checking to see if it's gone is what's sustaining it. And the best way I could advise to get your attention off of this, looking for progress, you know, because there's no progress in the self, as you said. I'm either focused on what I want or I'm focused on what I don't want. So even if I'm looking at something, okay, this thing is healing, there's not so much pain, I can do more before I end up in pain, there's still an assessing, am I there yet in it, isn't there? There's still a progress looking for, evaluating. And that's, of course, ego, where I feel I am now and where I would like to be. So if you can see that that mechanism, without blaming it, is never going to get you there because it's comparing into-ness, then the best thing you can do is get your attention off of it. So if you're out doing food shopping and you're experiencing some pain, you might not be able to get your attention off it straight away. But the very moment you can, this is why we have a list of feel-good things that feel good at any point in our life. Straight to get your attention off of it as soon as possible. Whatever you can do to take your attention away from the not-there-yetness that's, you know, measuring and evaluating, and back to appreciating and enjoying in whichever way. That could just be sitting down and watching a funny movie and having the right good laugh or something. Or it could be going for a drive, sitting back down in the car and going for a drive or something, whatever it is, or imagining. First and foremost, try to go to one of your feel-good things, even while you're still in that pain. Get your attention off of the fact that it's still there. I'm not talking about, of course, if you need to do something for the physical body to look after, of course, do that. But any amount of thinking about the fact it hasn't completely healed itself, whether it's our finances or our body or whatever, is just going to perpetuate it. So attention back on that wholeness, that pristine state of awareness, if you can. If not, one of your feel good things, you know, your go to things. And that is enough. Just not to give it any airtime, this thought process of not being there yet. That is enough. So whichever way you can get your attention off of it as soon as possible, and not blaming yourself if you can't. in any particular moment. Just more and more, there's less and less willingness to let attention linger on something that is less than whole in your life, because you're going to get more of that. We're either focused on what we want or what we don't want. And we're either focused on what we really are or what we are not. I'm a being that's in progress, in process, or I am being the self in this moment, enjoying, appreciating, curious, open, that type of thing. So I hope that helps you to move forward. I'm sure it's helpful for a lot of beings. Lovely. So we'll take a quick break there, and I'll do the last, we have three left, which I'll do in the next session. Thank you.